Hare Krishna.
Is this working? It says will begin shortly. Please stay tuned.
No, that was the earlier message.
We should just change it.
Yeah, just change the message.
You can just say remove that.
So it's broadcast here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, Canto 9, Chapter 12, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mogha,
Mogha,
Ashaha, Mogha, Karmanaha, Mogha, Jnanaha, Vichetasaha, Rakshasim, Asurim, Cha, Eva, Prakritim, Mohinim, Shritaha, Mogha Mogha Karmano, Mogha Jnana Vichetasaha, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva, Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha. Translation: those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. Purport: there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, going back to Godhead, will never be tasted. Similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive pious activities and who are ultimately hoping to be engaged liberated from this material entanglement will never be successful either, because they deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. In other words, persons who mock Krishna are to be understood to be demonic or atheistic. As described in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, such demoniac miscreants never surrender to Krishna. Therefore, their mental speculations to arrive at the absolute truth bring them to the false conclusion that the ordinary living entity and Krishna are one and the same. With such a false conviction, they think that the body of any human being is now simply covered by material nature, and that as soon as one is liberated from this material body, there is no difference between God and himself. This attempt to become one with Krishna will be baffled because of delusion. Such atheistic and demoniac cultivation of spiritual knowledge is always futile. That is the indication of this verse. For such persons, cultivation of the knowledge in the Vedic literature like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads is always baffled. It is a great offense, therefore, to consider Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be an ordinary man. Those who do so are certainly deluded because they cannot understand the eternal form of Krishna. The Brihad Vishnu Smriti clearly states, Yo veti bhautikam deham krishnasya paramatmanaha sasarva smad bahishkarya shruta smarata vidhanataha mukham tasyavalokya pi sachelang snanamacharit. One who considers the body of Krishna to be material should be driven out from all rituals and activities of the Shruti and the Smriti. And if one by chance sees his face, one should at once take bath in the Ganges to rid himself of infection. People jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually their real knowledge will remain under delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. Mm. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shiatafara Kamalam Shri Guru Navaishtavans Chashi Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Those who are thus bewildered, these are the first words of this verse. Thus here refers to the previous statement in Bhagavad Gita, which we'll read. Lord Krishna states in the verse previous to this one, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. So this is among people who have some knowledge of Krishna, or superficial knowledge of Krishna. It is not uncommon to think that Krishna is a human being. Among Hindus or among scholars, so-called scholars, there are many people who think that Krishna was a human being. Some people say that Krishna, well, he never, no, such a person as Krishna never existed. For instance, there was a person called Mohandas K. Gandhi who wrote in his autobiography, which was called Experiments with Truth, although as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, the truth is not something to be experimented with. The truth is always the truth. It is not to be found by any experimental method. But he wrote in that book that I do not believe that any person named Krishna ever existed. Of course, there are many people, even in India today, called Krishna, who exist. But he presumably was referring to the Krishna after whom all the present-day Krishnas are named. So, but there are others who say that, well, there are various ideas. There is an idea that there was a tribal god called Krishna, who, like the what are nowadays called the Adivasis. In India they call the Adivasis the tribe. There's actually a wrong term because it's based on some strange idea that the tribals were the first people there. But according to Shastra, the first people in India were not the tribal people, but they were highly advanced people. It's a modern, strange idea. So anyway, there's an idea that Krishna was a kind of folk god who became identified with the Vedic Vishnu. It's funny, isn't it? But these are the kind of theories they come up with. Or that Krishna was some kind of... Or they'll say like that. Krishna was just some forest maverick who, by some political machinations, became the prince of Dwaraka. And there are all kinds of strange theories. Or sometimes people praise, oh yes, Krishna, such a great person, such a great philosopher, he's a transformation of the sattva gun. So it sounds as if they're praising him, but actually they're not praising him at all. It's just like someone may be a great person, but if you praise him at a level lower than his greatness, then that's not praise at all. Just like if you meet a general, or you say if there's a private in the army and you address him as corporal, you might think, well, for him, he's mistook me for a corporal, I'm just a private. Then if you meet a general and you call him a corporal, then it's an insult, if you know anything about the ranks in the army, because a corporal is well below a general. So to say that Krishna is a great philosopher who is a transformation of sattva gun is not at all true. That means that Krishna is material. But actually Krishna is fully spiritual. He's beyond the modes of material nature. That is the... So anyone who thinks like that, Krishna says, is bewildered and they are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. That's a very heavy statement, isn't it? Well, it happens to be true. It's not just that Krishna, well, he was speaking before the battle, so he was in a heavy mood. It's a fact. Everything that Krishna says is a fact. This is the way to accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. In the introduction to this Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srila Prabhupada gives the clue for understanding Bhagavad Gita as it is. Most editions of Bhagavad Gita is Bhagavad Gita not as it is. Bhagavad Gita according to the imagination of the supposed pundit who's translating it or presenting it. But to get Bhagavad Gita as it is, we also have to receive it as it is. Because we can get the message as it is, but then we screw it all up in our stupid, with our stupid ideas, and it comes out as something different again. How does it all happen? Where did Hinduism come from? Originally there was the Ved Shastra, and then people screwed it up in different ways, and then someone came along and called them Hindus. But actually, the actual message is Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So all these funny ideas that come out of the Vedic literature, it's all due to misinterpretation. So even Bhagavad Gita as it is can be misinterpreted. It's not difficult. It's Maya gives unlimited intelligence how to make what is that Narottam Das Thakur says, asatyare satya karimani, that which is untrue we take to be true, and vice versa. This is what happens when we get infected by various strains of Mayavad. We were singing the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how Mayavad, this idea that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he is a product of Maya. This is called Mayavad, or it's more commonly known in India as Advaitavad, which is the greatest enemy to truth. Because even though it appears to be very spiritual, it converts or attempts to convert Krishna to being a material product. And then we think, well, all the gods are the same because they're all on the same level, and Krishna and Durga and Kali and Shiva and Kartikeya and all the gods, and add in a few modern gods, and they're all the same. It's all the same. And I'm all the same. Everything's all the same, because they don't understand Krishna's unique transcendental position above everything. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, dik, to hell with, or cursing there. Even they may chant, such persons may chant the name of Krishna. They may apparently serve Krishna, or they may hear about Krishna, but it's all polluted. And such apparent Krishna kirtan, such apparent Krishna shravan, such apparent Krishna sevan, it's actually hurts Krishna, because he is a person. He's not a non-person, as the Mayavadis conceive. It actually causes him more pain than the arrows shot by his enemies. So this Mayavad is the worst destroyer of bhakti. So such persons may consider themselves to be devotees, but at heart they do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. So they may be singing to Krishna, but at heart they don't accept that Krishna is the Supreme. They have a concept of him being somewhat or material. So this is a very dangerous disease. And in fact, pretty much everyone in the world has this disease, and even... it's paradoxical. Do you know what that means, paradoxical? You all know what that means? It's paradoxical that most people who know about Krishna, they are more affected by this disease than those who don't know about Krishna. In other words, most Hindus, you could say, because everyone in this material world has come here to be envious of Krishna. So when we get information of Krishna, what do? We can either surrender to him or reject him. Is that right? Well, there's something in between also. Well, we can reject him while pretending to accept him, and that's Mayavad. That means that we pretend we're very devoted, but we say that, well, ultimately, Krishna is nothing, because everything's nothing. And ultimately what Krishna says doesn't matter, because all words are meaningless. The Mayavadis say, they speak these words, that all words are meaningless. Actually what they are saying is meaningless, but when you point this out, then they say, words, words, as if words are the worst thing that are possible. So we often find that people of Hindu, for want of a better term, background, they have this a mixture of piety which comes by somehow or other chanting the name of Krishna or having some attachment to the Vedic principles, but at the same time, a very severe misunderstanding of Krishna. And such persons may, by good association, become pure devotees, but they have to associate with and hear from pure devotees. Just like there's an instance recorded in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of one poet who had come from Bengal to Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, and he had written a drama about Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya. But there was a system that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wouldn't listen to anything, because so many people would come and say, I made some poetry. But Swarup Damodar Goswami, he would screen everything. And no one would be allowed to recite anything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without that being screened by Swarup Damodar first, because Swarup Damodar was expert in Siddhanta, in understanding the proper philosophical conclusions of Krishna consciousness, and bhakti siddhanta viruddha arasaba shunile prabhur chitte nahoyulash. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would not become happy even by hearing things about Krishna if it was bhakti siddhanta viruddha, against the proper understanding of bhakti or the shastric conclusion. Rasa bhas, if there was a wrong mixing of rasa. Hare Krishna. So Swarup Damodar Goswami would screen this to stop this. So everyone thought, it's very interesting, there were many great devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they thought, this poet has made wonderful poetry. But when Swarup Damodar Goswami heard it, he questioned that poet and revealed that that poet actually had a completely Mayavad misconception. And then he told that poet, Jao Bhagavata Paro Vaishnava Sthane. You read Bhagavatam or you hear it from a devotee. Now he must have heard from so many people. Otherwise, how did he get enough knowledge to write a drama about Krishna, Jagannath? But he hadn't heard from pure devotees. Now actually there's a reason why I wanted to speak on this particular subject, because last week I saw a drama written by devotees, at least, well, that's the point in question, in which in about the third line of the drama, it was this Sudama Vipra, supposed to be the drama of Sudama Vipra. And the narrator was saying that, well, Sudama Vipra was a very pure Brahmin and he lived satisfied with whatever the Supreme Lord was able to give him. And I thought, whoops, wait a minute, this isn't bhakti, this is karma mimamsa. That God can only give you so much. He's not able to give you. The statement that God, whatever he is able to give you, this is the karma mimamsa philosophy, that there is God, but he's just like the, he's he's a dispenser, that whatever punya or pious activities you do, then he has to give you the results. So there's no point in worshipping God separately. You just, if you do your punya, then God is obliged to give you certain results, and he can't give you any more than what you deserve. So, and then of course the whole drama was going on with the devotees, they were performing for the audience, but with their back completely to the deity, which Srila Prabhupada pointed out when he was shown photos of a drama being enacted. He was very upset with that. Why is it back to the deity? Because the idea is that the drama should be performed principally for the deity's satisfaction. That's there in kirtan also. We often see in kirtan devotees are dancing ecstatically with their backs to the deities and completely forgetting that the name of Krishna and the form of Krishna are the same. So it struck me that, and I thought about this, that Sarup Damodar, he told this devotee, this poet from Bengal, you should hear from a devotee. So whoever wrote this drama had heard, but it seems they hadn't heard very clearly. There's a statement in the Bhagavatam, Pashyan api na pashyati, they see but they don't see. So there may be also Shrinvan api na shrinvati, hearing but not hearing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that initiation in Krishna consciousness, what is that initiation? It's a sanskar, it's a reformatory process, it's a spiritual reformatory process. Just like among these sanskars, there's the dashavida sanskar, 10 kinds of sanskar, or there may be sometimes there's 20, anyway, there are different lists of sanskars. One of them is karna bhed, which means to make a hole in the ear so that earrings can be fitted. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that initiation is the transcendental karna bhed, making a hole in your ear so you can hear. Open the channel, clear out all the, throw out all the rubbish so that we can hear. Because otherwise we may apparently hear but not hear. And though we know the story very nicely, we can present the Supreme Lord as someone who is only able to give. So Sudama Vipra was very poor because God was only able to give him that much at that time. So this statement, there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the absolute truth. So we have to be very careful if you're writing books or making dramas or even giving a class or this sacred message. It has to be transmitted as it is. And what does that mean? Well, we could just read Prabhupada's books. We could do that. Theoretically, we couldn't go wrong if we did that, although the nature of the conditioned soul is such that even just reading the books, we could possibly... We could misunderstand. There's been recently, you know, society, some move to that we should have footnotes added to Srila Prabhupada's books to explain certain points in case people misunderstand it. And I thought about this, that yeah, actually it's a very good idea. We should have all of Prabhupada's books. Why just one or two statements? Because people's ability to misunderstand is great. Well, that's one reason, but another reason is not just to restate in absolutely clear terms. Of course, even however clear you try to make it, someone will misinterpret it. That's pretty sure. But there are different things. I mean, even in the Shastra itself, even in the Bhagavatam, we have Krishna himself speaking Karma Mimamsa philosophy. So what are we supposed to understand by that? Therefore it has to be explained by the Acharyas. But every major commentary on any scripture is usually followed by any important commentary. It's followed by sub-commentaries. And in one sense, Srila Prabhupada's commentary, it's a sub-commentary on all the previous Acharyas' commentaries. It's not that he, as he writes in his introduction to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, this commentary, it's not my imaginative interpretation, but I'm simply taking the remnants of what the previous Acharyas have given. So much of Prabhupada's purports are based on the writings of the previous Acharyas, which he has presented in simple English, very complex philosophical subject. Srila Prabhupada has presented it in a manner which people with no background of Vedic philosophy can enter into it. And of course, Srila Prabhupada often gives what we could call his original comments also. Original means that they're not given by any previous Acharyas, although they're completely, of course, in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But he gives some various realizations in different places which are not specifically stated in the purports by the previous Acharyas. And often Srila Prabhupada gives some commentary relevant to the particular time and place he was preaching in. So that may need... So a further commentary is to glorify Srila Prabhupada's commentary, to maybe clarify some points, just like people, the tendency to misunderstand. In the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada humorously, sarcastically, states that Sati was fortunate that Lord Shiva didn't steal her ornaments to buy ganja. So, Prabhupada, it's a joke, obviously. But apparently, someone got upset when they read this, because they said, oh, you're insulting Lord Shiva. And maybe if we wrote like that, it was a dig, you could say, at some of Lord Shiva's purported followers who do things like that. They become addicted to ganja and they might steal their wife's ornaments to sell them to get more money for ganja. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, it's just like Chitraketu could joke with Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva's wife became upset, but Lord Shiva didn't, because they're both on the same level of being pure devotees. So, like that, Srila Prabhupada is certainly at least as great a devotee as all these great devotees mentioned in Bhagavatam, and it's difficult for us to say, and maybe we shouldn't say, but we can suggest that Srila Prabhupada is, in the transcendental sense, even greater than many great devotees like Chitraketu and Bali Maharaj described in Bhagavatam, because he is the one who brought all these pure devotees, knowledge of them, to the world. Out of all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many great devotees, Pramanda Tarite, what is that? Shakti Dhare Jane Jane, that's is stated about. Every single one of the devotees of Lord Chaitanya is powerful enough to deliver the whole universe. But actually Prabhupada did what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had predicted. So it's very... Would you say it's difficult to measure the greatness of Srila Prabhupada? It's not just difficult, but it's not within human comprehension or even spiritual comprehension, because we're talking about the unlimited here. So one way we could just... I was talking about that. So maybe some commentary is needed for that also. We could state that, or we could state when Prabhupada's talking about the hippies, we could talk about, in the sub-commentary we could write about Srila Prabhupada, the circumstances he was preaching in, and then we could say this part of the commentary is from Madhvacharya, this part is from Vishwanath, and this part is Prabhupada's original contribution. And like this, that would be one way of worshipping Srila Prabhupada. He said that devotees, my disciples, will write purports to my purports. And that's a standard thing, that when a great acharya makes a commentary, that his followers in disciplic succession, they make further commentaries to further illuminate the points and glorify their acharya. Anyway, I just want to make the point that we should be very careful. If we're going to write books or write dramas or speak, we should do these things. This is kirtan. I was saying we could just read Prabhupada's books, but Srila Prabhupada wanted that his disciples give classes daily on the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita so that they could also learn how to glorify Krishna according to the acharyas. And preaching, Srila Prabhupada said, means to present the same message but in our own words. It's not that everyone will speak in exactly the same way and use exactly the same language as Srila Prabhupada did, but the same message, making it relevant to the hearers. Srila Prabhupada is very expert in that. It was actually on the day after Balaram's appearance day, Balaram Purnima, I saw a very beautiful drama actually in Stockholm, which was 95% it was just reading from Prabhupada's Krishna book. It was about Balaram's leela of dragging Hastinapur, the marriage of Samba. So most of it was the devotees had memorized passages from Krishna book and they enacted it. And they would speak the different parts. So it was very, very nicely done, I must say. So, and even that drama that I saw last week is also nicely done, but there were some problems there. So I just wanted to point that out because it's very dangerous that if we just, you may say it was just a little word, it doesn't make much difference, but it can make a lot of difference. The whole concept changes, doesn't it? If you say that the supreme—that's like the thing you'd say in normal English. Well, I did what I was able to do. Or we have to, you know, we can't fault the president. He's doing his best. If someone makes a mistake, and you say, well, you know, they're doing their best. That's a generous person. If someone makes a mistake, they don't rub it in, but they say, well, look, he's doing his best. So if we say that, well, Sudama was a devotee of Krishna, but he was very poor, but anyway, you can't blame Krishna. He was doing his best. It's not a proper understanding. So the point is that we should hear very carefully and understand Krishna as he is. Srila Prabhupada presented these books and he spoke on and on and on, presenting this philosophy of understanding Krishna as he is, because our tendency to misunderstand is amazing. You'll find that, like Mayavadis, they know Shastra so much, they can quote this, that, so many things, but they misunderstand Krishna. So we have to hear from pure devotees who, that means those who are presenting the message as it is, and that will act to purify the heart and purify our misconceptions. That hearing will help us. There's a statement in Bhagavatam that Tato Dusanga Utsrija Satsu Sajeta Buddhiman. Manovya Sangha Muktibi. Santa Evasya Chindanti. Manovya Sangham. Oh, I just said it. I forgot it again. Uktibi. Yeah, okay, I got it. Just about. The verse is that one should, understanding this material world to be miserable, that even in the heavenly planets it's miserable. We should give up bad association. We should fully reject bad association. And if we're actually intelligent, we should associate with pure devotees. And such devotees, they lacerate, cut into pieces, all the misconceptions by their words. So what often happens is we like to hear about Krishna, stories of Krishna, and we'll find many people, they have an attraction to Krishna, but they are they haven't really understood who Krishna is. Because if anyone does talk anything philosophical about who Krishna is, it's almost always some bogus idea that Krishna's a transformation of impersonal Brahman, or Krishna's transformation of the sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, or Krishna's a tribal prince who grew up and became a sophisticated married man with many wives. And there are so many misconceptions. The pure devotees, they give the proper understanding of Krishna. So that's why we have to read Prabhupada's books and hear the message as it is. We find Prabhupada makes the same points again and again and again. And we may think, well, I understood it. I got my Bhakti Shastri degree. That means I understand. But we may even theoretically have a Bhakti Shastri degree, but we have to have the... that will be tested by how we... The real Bhakti Shastri degree will be tested not by getting a piece of paper with Bhakti Shastri written on it, but in how we speak and how we act. Traditionally, there were no degrees given. It's a modern idea. And we do that also, because people have this idea that you have to have a piece of paper. But the real qualification the piece of paper is required because people in this age require pieces of paper because they're incapable of judging themselves what is what. But traditionally, one would see by the character of a person, by their behavior, the Brahmana thread, that was the university degree. That you would see. Just like in India, people say, what is your name? What is your educational qualification? Just the name, that would be sufficient. The thread, the Brahmana's thread, and to say, I am a disciple of so and so, that's the qualification. Because if you're a disciple, that means Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who has an acharya, they know what is what. If one's actually a disciple, then they should know what is what. Otherwise, you could be an Ekalavya disciple. People in India praise Ekalavya. What a great guru bhakta. But he wasn't at all. He was just a fraud because he wanted to get the benefits of following the guru without following his instruction. So, therefore, whatever he apparently gained was lost. And same thing with Karna. He was another bogus disciple. And then what he got something, but then when he needed it, it was lost. Because he didn't follow the proper method. All right, Hare Krishna. That's all I'm going to say on this for now. Unless there are any questions or comments, no doubt. Hari Vilas Prabhu. Listening to Prabhupada day in, day out, for years, fully brainwashed. Brainwashed. The wash here is the important part. Get the brain washed by hearing from Prabhupada. Yeah, please. Do you want to come and take the mic and speak? M.K. Gandhi. M.K. What does the K stand for? Karamchand. Does that? Karam here means karma, is it? Yeah. Really? That was his family name. His father's name was Karamchand. It's almost like an atheistic name in itself, isn't it? Isn't it?
And Prabhupada said that the truth cannot be experimented. And that's the difference between social humanism today and the truth.
Oh, yes. Did you all get that? That's the I think you should maybe come. I can hear, but not everyone can hear. Maybe they're not familiar with these terms. That's the difference between social humanism today and hearing from Shruti, from Shastra. Social humanism, do you know what that is? It's America. We make our own experiment with truth. Humanitarian. Yeah, please go on.
Yeah, in the West it began with Aristotle, who said that the man is in his mind, not according to the standard of Shastra.
There's no standard. They have no fixed standard.
And this created chaos. And it's basically a Mayavada philosophy. And unless we have contact with a pure devotee like Prabhupada, we can never really correct it because we're suddenly conditioned right from the beginning.
Very dangerous, yeah.
And one time a gentleman asked Prabhupada a question. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I would like to ask you a hypothetical question. Assume that there is no God, and then Prabhupada said, stop. And I said, well, I didn't ask my question. I said, stop. This is not the logical question.
Yeah.
How do you know it's God? I didn't even ask the question. So we do this all the time in the verses. Stop. You do not understand the first principle of logic. He said, you didn't even hear my question. I said, I don't have to hear your question. The first statement you said is illogical.
Where was that, in France?
I.
Were you there? I didn't hear that one before. It's a great one.
So
I'm going to repeat that because this is, there might be some people in Dubai or some places watching this. I didn't hear this before. So Hari Vilas Prabhu related an anecdote which I didn't hear before, which I'm definitely going to quote. That someone asked Prabhupada, and this is a typical kind of question that so-called logicians ask all the time. He asked Prabhupada, I want to ask you a theoretical question. And it began with, what if there wasn't any God? And Srila Prabhupada immediately stopped him and said, you can't ask that question. It's already illogical. He said, well, I didn't even ask the question yet. Prabhupada said, don't bother, because there's no use to start off with such a premise. It's a completely ridiculous question.
So you do not understand the first question.
You do not understand the first principle of logic, Prabhupada said.
What if I said, assume that you don't have a mother and father?
Oh, what a brilliant reply. This is Prabhupada. I have absolute faith that this is not one of those made-up Prabhupada sayings, because this is only Prabhupada could come back like this, give such a riposte. Prabhupada said, what if I said that let us assume that you have no mother and father? But that was the same logic Prabhupada always used. When people said there's no God, and Prabhupada would say, well, do you have a mother and father? And say, of course I do. They have a mother and it's the same logic. Yeah.
So our misfortune to be in a world that is a hypothetical world where, you know, there's a saying in French that says, they can see on commentary to power.
Okay, please translate it as my French is.
With an if, you can put the entire city of Paris in a small bottle of wine.
With an if, you can put the whole bottle of Paris in
the whole city of Paris
in a small bottle of wine. That means, what does that mean? All the winos, their philosophy?
No, it means that, you know, assume there's no God, then you begin
It's an impossible statement. You can't put Paris in a bottle of wine.
The domain is saying, with, you know, if this is, if we assume that it's like this.
Yeah, then anything's, yeah.
Yeah, you can create any
That's why actually any philosophy rests on certain axioms. And even the people who are professing doubt, when they're speaking it to you, they assume that the words they say carry the same meaning to you as they do as it does to them. So they're working on axioms also. I have a good one. Whenever people say to me, "I don't believe anything," I say to them, "Do you believe what you just said?" Then they're caught.
So, and it, yeah. The first lecture of Prabhupada, you'd be able to pick out these latent clouds. Just like you were very sharp to be able to pick out an inconsistency in statement about Krishna. That was also done when Advaita Acharya had a so-called death.
Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like that at all. Even though
the person wanted to pay it for him.
Bishras, what was his name? Kamalakant Bishras.
Yeah, he wanted to pay it. He said, "I'll pay it off." And Virchitanya, he picked out that this is like...
Do you know all that? Do you all know that story? You probably don't. Kamalakant Bishras was a devotee of Advaita Acharya, and he sent a letter to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj, the king of Puri, or the king of Orissa, saying that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has a debt to you. So because he's the Supreme Lord, you should waive this debt. Somehow that letter came in the hands of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who rejected this Kamalakant Vishras from him. He said, "Don't let him ever come to see me again." Because he said that Advaita Acharya is the Supreme Lord. That's true, that's good. But then he said he has a debt. How can the Supreme Lord have a debt? So according to worldly dealings, he did have a debt. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't accept that.
So unless we have association of genuine devotees, it's very easy for these type of misconceptions.
Very easy for these misconceptions to come. And that's what happened. All these upper sampradayas came in after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All their different wrong interpretations. And it might seem right, just like Krishna likes gopis, so he doesn't like my hairy body, so I'll dress as a gopi and shave twice a day and speak in a voice like this, and then Krishna will love me. That's one of them. It's still going on today. Yeah, Sakhi Beki. It seems right, unless you have association with proper devotees. So we have to, that's what Prabhupada says. There are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his name, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was just pointing out everything wrong in everyone who was obscure or obfuscating, that means covering over the actual process of devotional service with all their wrong ideas. Because unless these wrong ideas are cleared out, we don't get Krishna. He said that you might get the Krishna of some modern novelist or the Krishna imagined in your grandmother's bedtime stories, but you won't get Krishna. You won't get Rupa Goswami's Krishna. You won't get Srivash Thakur's Krishna.
Prabhupada actually made the statement that we should not hear.
Should not hear from non-devotees.
Else.
Yeah, we shouldn't hear from non-devotees.
Because he said, when he was speaking about his godhood, he said, even if you hear one word different, it will cause havoc.
Hmm.
And I'll give a funny example of that. There was a class in Russia, and it was being, the speaker was speaking English and being translated into Russian. And the speaker said, "And every morning you should take a cold shower and chant your rounds."
And they all got up in the middle of the class and went to take a cold shower?
No. And the translator said, "Every morning wake up and chant your rounds while taking a cold shower." So, after a couple of days, four or five devotees were taking a And it was brought to the attention of the speaker of that class. He said, well, what happened? He said, well, Maharaj, you said it. We should chant around for 10 minutes.
They had such faith that they did it, huh? That misplaced faith can be very dangerous also. Not applying one's intelligence to understand what's... And they should have checked. Did you really say that? Did you really say that we should chant 16 rounds in a cold shower?
Another example is when I was a new devotee in London, one of the Bhakti trainers told me that if you pass school more than once a day, you are
so they're all here out holding it in.
You can only do it, he said, 4 o'clock before Mangalore. During any other time of the day, you're a monster. And because we were, you know, new devotees, and we were involved in, like, you know, absolute philosophy, I believe. And, you know, every about 6-7 days, I was in complete misery because there was only one toilet.
Yeah, I remember.
And there were about 40 people that had to use it before Mangalore. So you push in, and then right away someone would be knocking on the door so you could get out. And with such anxiety that I was not able to do anything. So after 4 or 5 days, I was suffering like anything. So I went to the temple president and said, Prabhu, I think I've been leaving the temple. He said, why? He said, I can't follow the way of the principle. Which one are you having trouble with? I said, well, you know, and I was a little embarrassed. So I said, okay, I know. He said, but we can help you. I said, really? I said, how can you help? He said, well, maybe you can get married. I said, how will that help? Said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, it's the one about, you know, you come and get school once a day, you can come on the way. He said, what? I said, look, I thought that was one of the regulative principles. Who was the rascal that told you that? So, once I found out that that was not one of the rules, I felt confident that I could stay in Krishna. But this is, you know, one little word misplaced, even accidentally, can cause havoc. In fact, oftentimes, you know, the reason people go into a state
book, there was a statement from a judge, a verdict, like, hang him not, comma, leave him. Somebody misprinted it, he said, hang him, comma, not leave him. He was hung.
Uh-huh, I see, yeah.
Just because
you got that? Hang him, not leave him. If the comma is put, hang him not, comma, leave him, it means not to hang him. And if it's hang him, comma, not leave him, then he's hung. Well, that's why judges have to be very careful to, in, I mean, not to speak in such strange English anyway. Hang him not it's strange syntax. Yeah, they have the judgment is put in writing, and in legalese, you have to be, when they're framing laws, you have to frame them very carefully, because the first thing that what happens when a law is published is that all the lawyers get together to try to see how they can reconstruct it and break it using the terms used by interpreting the words in a certain way. Yeah, so.
Yes, Maharaj, in the purport of the ninth verse which we discussed, or the ninth chapter, 12th verse we discussed.
You mean the verse today which we discussed?
Yeah, today's verse.
Yeah.
In the purport, like, the Brihad Vishnu Smriti is clearly said, right?
Yeah.
Who considers the body of the Krishna to be material.
Yeah.
Should be driven out.
The body of Krishna,
and the activities of the Shruti and Smriti.
Yeah.
So, when this is so clearly stated in the Smriti, why do the Mayavadis not consider this? Are they just not...
Why, when it's so clearly stated, why do the Mayavadis not accept this? Well, there's different ways they can get around it. One way is they don't accept the Smriti. They'll say, we only accept Shruti. That's one good way to avoid Krishna. Because the much which is in the Shruti, that's why the Puranas are required to make the Purana, to make it full and complete. Not that the Shruti is incomplete, but our understanding is incomplete. And in Shruti, the Mayavadis, they go to the Upanishads, which the Upanishads themselves are mostly not very clear. So they're interpretable. It's clear to people who have clear vision, but most of them don't directly state about Krishna. So that's one way they can avoid it. And there are so many ways. I mean, they'll reinterpret. They'll reinterpret that... who thinks that Krishna, who is Paramatma, is bhautika? You see, he's not bhautik. They'll say he's akashic, they may say, for instance. He's not bhautik. He's not composed of the bhutas, but he's composed of sattva-gun, or he is Brahman. They can still reinterpret it. And Paramatma, they'll simply take to mean he's the best among all equal atmas. So it's not that difficult to... I mean, you see, you put me on the spot. Now I have to try and be a Mayavadi and give a wrong interpretation for you. But it's not that difficult if you want to be a rascal. Because the intelligence how to do so comes from Krishna. Matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. So... There you go. Yeah.
Harivilas Prabhu was just saying that unknowingly, even if you miscommunicate unknowingly, then that is also cheating.
Mm-hmm.
So just I was able to recall that, like in Phoenix, many times, like when we have dramas, those dramas are perfectly written. We don't get many times devotees to take part in it. So like people who don't have proper understanding of the philosophy, they play their roles,
mm-hmm.
and even if they like. Memorize their lines correctly, even after rehearsal.
It'll be a different bhav altogether, yeah.
And even while they are performing,
they'll say the wrong thing.
Yeah, they would just quote.
They ad lib. They ad lib, and then it comes out wrong. Yeah. That's why Prabhupada said that in dramas, it's only pure devotees should take part. They should only be the actors. So, Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi, Śrīmad Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jāi, Hare Krishna.